A very, very good afternoon to all our listeners. I'm Lucas Katenda, and I am bringing you our weekly program on fighting corruption. And we will have no minute to spare, but simply to start from where we have ended. I hope now you could all remember we spoke about the strategies that are best to fight corruption. We call them anti-corruption strategies or anti-corruption toolkit, okay, or anti-corruption tools. What is it that you can do in terms of practicality? What are the things that must be carried out in order that we fight corruption, to eliminate it if at all possible, so that it will be something that is unheard of in our society? And having said that, I have now to tell you that there are about 8 or so ways, broader visions or broader objectives, if you want to fight corruption so effectively and efficiently. In other words, number one, you have to do the assessment of corruption and of institutional capabilities against corruption, and then institutional building. Number two, and number three, situational prevention. So we are still there dealing with situational prevention, and then social prevention. I hope we will be running through the tools to make sure that the normal governance system is strengthened to the point that it will be very hard for our officials and officers and subordinates to engage themselves in illegal acts. Only then after that we will be talking about enforcement. And then enforcement means the laws, the legal instruments, and then we talk about anti-corruption legislation, and then international cooperation, as well as the repatriation of illegal funds. So in a way, we must be able to speak about those four things only when we have made sure that we know what corruption is, we know our institutions, their capacities and their capabilities, and we have reformed and we have built new institutions, or we have built in strength shields to surround our institutions, and then the situational, to prevent a situation that may breed corruption, and then social prevention, to deal with the society in a way that the society will help. Only then you can go to things like enforcement now, and corruption agencies and legislations, and actual things that you must do when corruption has happened, or enforcing the law, enforcing, making sure that we do not really bypass the law. So we spoke about the office of the ombudsman, strengthening judicial institutions, civil service reform. We spoke codes and standards of conduct. We mentioned and we spoke about those. Now we need to speak about anti-corruption commission committees, and similar bodies, national integrity and national action planning meetings. We have touched a bit on that, and anti-corruption action plans. This is now what we need to pay more attention at anti-corruption action plan today. And then from there, we shall move on to strengthening local governments and then to strengthening the legislatures and their efforts against corruption by way of revision. And then we will go on now to the social prevention, which we did some weeks ago. We started with social prevention, disclosure of assets, authority to monitor public sectors, the procurement process, the integrity pacts, and reduce of procedural complexities, and also reducing the structuring of discretion and restructuring of discretion. And maybe today we will talk about results or fact-based management and the use of positive incentives to promote or to improve employee culture and motivation. Then thereafter, we shall then go to social prevention. And social prevention, we must, as much as we can, finish it before we start talking about enforcement or things like that in the weeks to come. So now, anti-corruption action plan. Okay. Anti-corruption action plans, they are those plans that set clear goals and timelines and sequencing for the achievement of specific goals. Not only do such plans place pressure for action, those expected to contribute to the anti-corruption efforts, but they clarify the various issues involved, making both current and more advanced planning easier. So a national plan is likely to be, just a moment, an extensive document. That's now the national plan. Is likely going to be an extensive, really document, and it is also going to provide sort of detailed coverage of all segments of the government and society. It will contain input from insiders and outsiders, including donor and foreign governments. Such diversity is important, as are wide consultations, transparency, popular support, and political will. Plans will normally encompass 5 substantive issues, and I think this is what we need to talk about. Awareness raising, institution building, prevention, anti-corruption legislation and enforcement, and monitoring. So there must be a national anti-corruption plan. And the national anti-corruption plan, as I always lead, these things are leading to one another. Anti-corruption plan must be derived from the National Anti-Corruption Agency. There must be anti-corruption agency, and there must be anti-corruption commission, or committee, or similar bodies. And these are the bodies that are working hand in hand. One is generating the objectives and the vision, while the other is implementing. And by so doing, we must make sure that the plan is developed in a way that it covers the ideas from all sectors of the society. And it must be really an extensive document covering almost everything that we need to do in terms of understanding what corruption is, in terms of forms of corruption, in terms of the research done, whether we have corruption in Namibia or not, the institutions that we have so far, governance instruments that are in place, and what is it that we can do to fight corruption. So now, having said that, I need to dwell a bit on the five substantive issues. Yeah, five substantive issues that are very, very necessary to form part of the National Anti-Corruption Plan. One, awareness raising. There must be effort. There must be an effort from every level, if you like, to create awareness, to teach people what is corruption, when is an act can be regarded as a corruption, what are the things that one will do that are likely going to induce a person into becoming corrupt. What is it that we are doing to fight corruption? What are the plans that are in place? What have been achieved so far? So we need to go beyond lip service and really speak to issues by creating awareness in the media, in the print media, in the electronic media, in the social media, so that we can reach out to as many people as possible. Yeah. Now, so saying, it is not only awareness raising, but also institution building. We need to build institutions that are strong enough, that are shielded enough, in a way that there is no way a person can be tempted to be shrewd, to be cunning, in a way that they will steal money or they will benefit unduly from the resources of the state. Then we must talk about prevention directly. How do we prevent? And then there must be anti-corruption legislation. We must legislate. There must be a legal framework that is anti-corruption, and enforcement of the legislations, policies, and guidelines, and then monitoring. Yeah, monitoring, and obviously evaluation as well, because you will need to know what you have achieved so far and what you need to do next. Then Tool 11, or this strategic activity number 11, sets out a number of action plans, objectives for the executive and public sector areas. It also establishes objectives for specific groups such as the law enforcement community, prosecutors, legislators, and legislative bodies, and civil society and the private sector. What are we saying here? There must be objectives that are targeting specific groups as the law enforcement community. There must be a community enforcing the law of anti-corruption. The prosecutors, for instance, the legislators, for instance, and legislative bodies, the civil society, and the private sector. They must be targeted to the point that these people will be able to enforce the law in their own locality, in their own institution, etc., etc. So it advises also the risk of setting overly ambitious or unrealistic goals that, if not achieved, will erode public confidence. In other words, when we are planning, we must not plan for things we are not going to do, that we know we cannot achieve, because if we plan for things that we know we cannot achieve, the public will lose trust in us. So it's actually important to check and balance your ambitions so that you can set only realistic, achievable goals within the means, resources that you have, because the community will lose trust. And therefore, such issues must be dealt with when things are coming up, must be dealt with in order to retain the momentum. So the thing is, if as a society we do not know how to set the goals, then we must visit this United Nations document to help us set our goals. Okay? It's a substantive thing. It will help us to set our goals. Because when we are talking about awareness raising, all Namibians from children who are in school to the oldest person in the land should be able actually to know what is anti-corruption plan for our country. All of us need to own this document. And the question is whether this is what we are doing now. What is our anti-corruption plan? When was it developed? Who were the key stakeholders who participated in those plannings? Do we really know where it is? Can we have it in our language? Can people read it? Are people out there aware there is this anti-corruption plan? We need it, and we need to talk about these things so that at the end of the day, all Namibians are somehow, somewhere participating in anti-corruption activities, because they know this is their plan, this is their activities, and they are willing to participate. Then number 12 is to strengthen the local government. And maybe before I went there is a requirement for me to explain the difference between anti-corruption agency and anti-corruption commission. Okay? According to the United Nations, those are two different bodies, but working hand in hand. So there is a distinguish between anti-corruption agency and a national anti-corruption commission, for instance. Okay? But in some countries, anti-corruption agency is also functioning as anti-corruption commission. I don't know the situation in Namibia, but the United Nations is making a distinction, because the former, now the anti-corruption agency, is a standing commission, established to implement, administer prevention and enforcement of the national strategy. There must be a national strategy, and this national strategy must be developed by variety, okay, of people, including civil society, private sector. I will just mention it in a moment. That one is found in tool number 9, or in strategy number 9. The standing commission or the standing body that is aimed at making sure the national anti-corruption strategy is developed and is implemented, and the elements therein are enforced. While the anti-corruption commission is a body that's also standing, designed to develop, to launch, to implement, and monitor the strategy itself. If I understand this correctly, I think United Nations envisage that there must be a body that is kind of supervisory, supervising the work of anti-corruption strategy. An independent body that is there with experts, and it is the body that studies, that researches, that document. Yes, there is a problem of corruption in Namibia, and therefore we need to act. So we must not just act because we were forced to act by someone somewhere. Yes, we have to start somewhere, but there must be a study done. There must be a conclusive evidence, facts on the table that yes, there is corruption in Namibia. There's a possibility of corruption in Namibia. And therefore, we need an anti-corruption strategy. Under that strategy, you now have anti-corruption, administrative body. You can now call it whatever you call it. So this administrative body makes sure that all the things that were set by the agency are implemented. And this body, in a normal circumstances, should report back to this body. The implementing body should report to the agency. And the agency should advise the nation that this is the situation, this is what people have done, and something must be done to curb or to improve or whatever the case might be. So there is a difference between anti-corruption agency and anti-corruption commission. But in some situations, it is one body with overlapping, if you like, responsibilities. And therefore, we need to make that difference when people are asking, who is receiving the anti-corruption reports now? Yeah. We know already that our governance system is in three houses. You have the executive. The executive has a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that all these things are addressed. Therefore, the presidency, the cabinet, must be somehow briefed. They must know what is going on. And they must have their own, they must know that it is their responsibility to make sure that all these bodies are created. The legislature receives almost every report, and then the judiciary enforce and interpret the law. Trip to marketplace.
O shendiso o shipumbi washa simana eskokege monkhara munyaloni uitsa kidira ko global parts o tuna igeto pumbwa ana wino yontseo ya shirako e vivimiko mukuganja e akuro o shitsa shotango kuyo global parts o kwako ke toada e parte ongoshu yi hautongashi Volkswagen Mercedes Benz Audi BMW non kunda nombra nawa pai fotarandisa o e parte etemba i hali ongoshu mbara Toyota Karande i parte arongwa kondowishi, gashu mileage no top run. Yatare na ponena mo Naismith Street, Southern Industrial Area mo Venduka. Global Parts, shipopza, si tukupo mairi omawa nawa. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and price.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to...
Welcome back. And before we open the line for people to speak and air their views and ask their questions, I will give you an indication when to start calling. Please don't start calling now. Anti-Corruption Commission, Anti-Corruption Agency, and other committees and other bodies, but there must be a larger, responsible body of experts, of serious people who are receiving information, because here we are dealing with a serious issue. People must not just, we must not just use the word corruption, even if it is a small thing, or even if it is not corruption by way of definition or things like that. We will lose the meaning of the thing. So we need a person, when it is said, so is accused of corruption, it must not just be a social media issue or a traditional media issue that, oh, so and so is corrupt. Yes, bring the accusation, bring all the evidences, give information to the people, and these people must present this information to a particular body, and they must study it, and they must make sure that there are no arbitrary accusations against people in the land. It must be really a fact-based information. So then not only that, there must also be what we call national integrity and action planning. Can you see? In tool 10, you must have action planning and national integrity. So it is to bring people, broadest based stakeholders, to people must come to a workshop and they discuss matters in order to develop consensual understanding of the types, levels, location, causes, and remedies of corruption. And also to talk about how to implement and how to evaluate the anti-corruption strategy. So you need all the broader based group of people to come and have a discussion. These are the people who must give you the way forward. And these are the people who must give you the way forward. Okay, so we must then strike the balance when you create a situation like this, where you need to talk or to call for a meeting. You don't just call for a meeting for people to be going for shopping and eating and drinking and laughing, but people must come together to work. It is a workshop. And there must be a difference between procedural and substantive issues. We must not just talk about substantive issues. I mean, procedural, we must not just talk things out as a matter of procedure, if you know what I mean. But we must get to the bottom of the things. It must really be a work. And even when the plan is generated or the strategy is generated from this meeting, people can be able to share with the public that this is what we have done. And this is what we have achieved so far. And this is what we would like to do in our fight against corruption. So then you have then the anti-corruption plan that I have just mentioned. So now you have the executive arm of the state, according to the constitution, the legislature, and the judiciary. In the executive, you need a political will. It will come somewhere in the, as we talk about social prevention. Political will is needed for those in leadership to say, look, we have to fight corruption, and we must not fight corruption haphazardly. We must plan how we want to fight corruption properly. We must plan properly. Not only that, we must avail the resources for this thing to take up. Furthermore, we don't have to interfere with the operations of the anti-corruption agency and anti-corruption bodies, committees, and whatever, what have you. All of them, you can call it anti-corruption bodies. They must work independently. And this plan must target relevant people and all that and all that. All that we need to do for us to be monitored, because we are the people responsible for our government spending, we cannot investigate ourselves. Let's have a body independent, obviously not independent in terms of resourcing it and so on, but only independent in as far as activities and planning and so on are concerned, that this body must be able to say, colleagues, we have people out there in the field, and this is what they have told us. They are telling us that at a particular clinic, a patient was sent back without being treated. At a particular school, there are no books, there are no chalks, but we heard the budget was allocated. At a particular place, the road is broken, but there is no money to repair. So, are you telling me there is no money, or are you telling me you don't know what is going on, or you are supervising the work that you do not know about? So there must be a body that is there to call, to ring the bell when there is a problem. But there must be no interference. This body, we must only react to it when we are told that this is the fact. And I keep on saying, in order to fight corruption, we must not allege, we must not bring information that is not real. We must give evidence so that when we have to confront someone, we confront this person knowing that we have evidence. This is what has happened. And why is it happening like this? Furthermore, you have the legislature, which receives almost every report, because even the head of state speaks to the nation once a year. In other words, accountable to parliament. So parliament must receive these reports and the recommendations, including the reforms that are needed, so that they can deliberate on it in order to advise the nation how best we can fight this corruption. And then you have the judiciary. Those are interpreters and the adjudicators, those who are judges. They will be able to come to a proper judicial conclusion about any matter. So you need to know that difference. But again, before we go, we need then to strengthen local governments, whether it is local authorities or regional councils or traditional authorities. We need these bodies to be strengthened because they are at the receiving end. They are at the bottom of receiving end of the government distribution of resources. In other words, some of them are they actually who are distributing. They are giving water to people, electricity to people, land to people, and all that. And it must come down to the local level. And the local level must be strengthened to fight corruption. It is not just something up there. We must not just fight corruption in Windhoek. We must fight corruption at Okamatapati. We must fight corruption at Kashinakashi. We must fight corruption at Aranos. We must fight corruption at Etanga. We must fight corruption at Ekoka, for instance. It must come down to where the people are, and they must be empowered in order to fight corruption effectively. It must be decentralized. In other words, we must not just talk about corruption up there. Corruption only in the newspapers. Not so many people read the newspapers in the rural areas. Corruption only discussed about in English. It must also be discussed in the vernacular languages, because not everybody is conversant in the English language, which is the official language. We must disseminate information to every person in the language that they understood best. So legislature and their efforts, okay? So this is now number two, tool number 13 that discusses ways in which legislature can strengthen their role in areas that are critical combating corruption, such as transparency, accountability in government, as well as special areas such as formulation and adoption of anti-corruption laws and independent oversight of anti-corruption bodies. So the legislature, in other words, the parliament, for instance, must be must make sure that there is transparency and accountability in government. And further, the anti-corruption law must give necessary independence to the anti-corruption bodies, whether it's agency or corruption, whatever you call it in your country. And in this country, we must be able to give necessary independence. And this is what people are crying about. We don't know whether we are, this anti-corruption commission is independent or things like that. There must be assurance from somebody, and this is only the legislature, that anti-corruption commission, anti-corruption body, anti-corruption whatever, must be independent. Okay. Now, anti-corruption efforts in legislative bodies may be directed at institutions themselves or at individuals. And the accountability of members may be set down in bodies, in codes of conduct covering entire conduct of election campaigns, for instance. They may cover rules of participation in legislative functions, for instance. And a disciplinary mechanism has also been in place where there are complaints. And legislature must deal with their functions when conducting their sessions, must be in open so that people can see what's going on. And in Namibia, this is really happening. Our parliament is always on, broadcasted by whoever, in the NBC and so on. They always bring us the discussions as they take place. And that is good for fighting corruption if we could just continue. So transparency and accountability, they must also be extended to access to information, to the sittings, to the media transmission of parliamentary proceedings, as I've mentioned, modern technical aids, websites, publications, and other structures that are in place for people to know. So if parliament can do this, it means they can also receive the report and institute reforms that are necessary when it comes to law, for instance, or to people who are the people to be entrusted to fight this corruption while they concentrate on their work of passing the laws and so on and so forth. And obviously, the judiciary system, we will talk about it when we come to enforcement. Now, I open the line for people to talk. Call in to ask their questions or to share what they know about what we mentioned today, the anti-corruption plan, the difference between the anti-corruption agency and anti-corruption commission, and also the independence of these bodies, because they need really to be independent. So please, those of you who have our number here in studio, you can call in and let us hear your views or your questions. They do not have always to be about what we discuss. You may ask also some other things or share some other things. And if I don't have an answer now, I will have to do a research and bring it to you. For as long as we keep our messages short and to the point, in order that we give others a chance as well, because we only have 13 minutes or so, rather 16 minutes, yes, or so before we start, before we end our program. Actually, we have started already. So it is not only then those institutional building and so on, but we also need what we call situational prevention. This one I have mentioned already in one of the programs some weeks ago, to disclose the assets and the liabilities of the public. We need to know what you have and how did you acquire it. Don't just disclose the assets and the liability, but also tell us how did you acquire it. Don't tell me I have 20 million in worth of assets and money and whatever. All my assets are 20 million. How did you acquire it, my friend? Because some of you were just like the men speaking in the studio now. Penniless, if you know what I mean. But after some years, when you become part of the system, you are now a millionaire. How did you do that? Because the system has got no means to make one a millionaire. How did you do that? How did you come to that point? You are not in the public service to make millions. You are in the public service to serve the people, not to make millions. If you are a businessman, I understand you, because business is obviously there to make millions. Secondly, there must be a body that is controlling or monitoring the public sector contracts. When we hear about this fish rot, we hear about fish rot, we hear about Sam Harry, we hear about Iceland, we hear about this person, you hear about that Dubai, you hear about that company and that company. How did it happen? That is why some people don't know, are finding it very hard to understand what really has happened. Because it's not clear who is responsible for monitoring the contracts, who must be contracted to do a certain work in Namibia. Are the people with good credibility? Are the people worthy working together with? Are the people who are not going to corrupt our people and create a tension as we can see now? Are we sure those people, they must be monitoring, you see? Yeah. I cannot overemphasize that, as I've mentioned the other time, that it is a specialized authority which may be created to monitor key contracts and key transactions in areas where corruption is widespread. So you need a body in Namibia, for instance, that make sure before you pass any resolution for anything, this body must have reviewed. You can't just give a tender to whoever. You must go through a particular body. Yeah, in the fishing sector, in the allocation of land, farms, in the mining sector, and in other areas as well. We need only people with expertise to review those contracts and those transactions. We don't need to pay lip service to these things. And one thing that is worrying me, and unfortunately I have to say this, even if it will not be taken lightly by many people, I have a serious problem on a personal level with the way some Namibians, please understand me, some Namibians conduct themselves even when they are given a huge responsibility. I do not expect a person with a huge responsibility, but this person is somewhere in the bars at night, and this person is drinking and is dancing and is reckless social life. But in the morning, I expect this person to do things properly in the office. I have a doubt that we do that. When you look at our security arrangements, especially for the state, the head of state is properly covered, properly protected, in a way that is not fragile, not only to threats to his existence, but also to his own credibility. Why don't we take this? If you are a director of something, you are not a small person in the society. And I'm not saying you must elevate yourself. I am only saying you must know where to be and choose your ways and your actions and choose your words and your friends carefully, because you are entrusted with something very serious for the state. And we cannot compromise the progress, the development, and the security of the state and of the government and of the people of Namibia simply because we have given the responsibility to a very reckless person. These people who I see in the bars, when there is a particular event and people are drinking, they also drink like nobody's business. Sometimes I ask myself, are these people really serious with the work that they are given? You see? So, in order then to be on the safer side, we need then to create a specialized authority or a body that will monitor key contracts, contracts, key transactions in the areas where corruption may be widespread. Such authority could be established within a country, but in many cases, it would need to be an international to put it beyond the reach of corruption, because it also doesn't need to be corrupted itself. With many developing projects failing because of corruption, international organizations have for several years been focusing increasing attention on corrupt practices in economic, social, and political development. Dubious practices with international agencies and non-governmental organizations have resulted in aid not being maximized, and they have come under a scrutiny. And here we have a call. Welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Katenda, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Yourself?
The afternoon is good.
Yes, please, we have we have only sort of 7 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I just want to, you see, Dr. Katenda, I think as far as we are concerned about how corruption is in Namibia, the problem is, I have seen that laws are, several law and processes and system are there. But the problem is, people who make those laws, let me say, the legislatures
mm.
who made those laws, they made it in such a way that there is a loophole for them to be able to manipulate them. So, Zagatenda, you know that, look, if you, we can check on the issue of, like, board of directors,
mm-hmm.
there is law that says you cannot serve at more than two boards. But the same people who made that law for people not to serve in more than two boards, they are the same people that are appointing board of directors to appoint, I mean, to serve more than three or four boards. Because those are their stooges. They are zombies that they can be able to control.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. That's what I'm saying. If and I like to use, see, me, I like to use scenarios in my time where I was one of the person who prayed to remove institutional memory of corruption, especially in the town of Alves Bay. So you have people who come in saying there is change, but the same people have the audacity to go and decrease the requirement because they know already who they wanted to become a CEO.
Mm-hmm.
So, because the management committee of a municipality, they are the one that can bring the CEO. So the law is made that the person who is there today can be able to make a resolution so that that particular law should work in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, what law are not to make? Policy direction should be made that even the generations that are coming in 2063, they must not be able to use that law to make it so that they can be able to capitalize on the loophole.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem we are having.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have people that are elected in an office 2020, but in 2022, they are already using a loophole in the system. In fact, they're the people who make, so we won't change. We want not to change. But now they are using the bail law in their favor so that they can appoint people who can be able to dance to their music.
Mm. And that's a problem when we want to, when we want people to dance to our music, rather than yes. to dance to the music of the people who need the services.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, policy direction should not be made today by the Katenda because it will see that Katenda. No. Policy direction should be made in the national interest of all the people.
Yes.
Because if you see, our law says, ministers do not supposed to have fishing quotas, mining rights, and mineral rights. But they have it.
Yeah.
Because there is a loophole in the law that makes them to use it. And when they are having that loophole in the law, they go to such an extent that they make a law of both of the hectares not to serve in more than one board. But because they have power to appoint those of board of the electors, they are transgressing the law to appoint one person to serve more than four people.
Mm.
You see what the problem is coming from?
Yes.
So our laws need to be overhauled so that it works in the interest of today and for the next generation to come. Thank you very much, Dr. Katenda.
Thank you. And when we are speaking about the law, obviously we are talking about the legislature and legislators. I hope there is somebody listening, that we need to make sure that the law reform has taken place in order to close all possible, loopholes that are there, and they may obviously, corrupt people. A trip to marketplace before.
Okumona evi joko mikunda mo Namibia. Epangelo jo Republika ya Namibia okupitira mu ministeri una mapsa omea ne tendururo jevi ojatura po vita etendururo jevi joko mikunda ovitontintano yomvoma ovigali nambali okukwatira komeho eunga ungo jevi joko mikunda. Oveta uilipo kushipareka omautho mokumona evi, opo kushono pekwe ontamana na kombinga evi joko mikunda. Shika, otashipondoro ashike okupitira moku shangitha uthemba wevi, kitoporwa yoko mikunda. Omarelo gopamithigururwa karo ngoka gatambi wako, otaka kaganja uthemba auhe wevi,
Omanga omawiri kongundugevi mitoporo aihe yopaporo tika moshirongo
ano o communal land board
taka kaganja eziminino koma indiro agehe uthemba wevi u ministeri wo otauka metanengo kuyirika unene wehara jevi nokutura uyirele auhe taupumbiwa momlando wo Namibia communal land administration system moshirongo Oyene omavi gokomikunda otaya vuru okuninga omeindiro gokushangitha ngaashi uthemba wethiguru lwavi okudhika egumbo neralakano lyokumuna, uthemba wokuthitha neralakano lyokungeshefa, oshowo uthemba wokukala nevi neralakano lyokugandja omayakulo taga pumbiwa esiku kehe mevi lyokomikunda. Ona kumuna uwanawa meshangitho lyuthemba wevi lyokomikunda otaya ka longitha evi njoka Onga jaoyeni monkalamwenyo yao aihe pwaahena upyakadhi washa. Uwanawa wokushangitha uthemba wevi lyokomikunda onga ashitaurandura. Okugandja egameno lyashigako kooyene yomavi, aaholike yao panjokana, oyana nenge aayambidhidhwa yao opo ya kalekepo evi ndika sigo okomapipi tagekeya. Okupitika umwene oshipambu nenge ombinga evi lyontumba, shikale wala komuntu gumwe poshikando, shoka tashi keelele ompito yokwiikuthira evi, okushilipaleka kutya mwene wevi okwa pewa omikanda nenge oombapila dhuumbangi uuthemba wumwene wevi, mboka tawu ulike oongamba, oshowo unene oshipambu shevi shoka atendelwa paveta, ohashi kwathele aakwashigwana ya dhidhilike nenge ya tothemo oshipambu shevi njoka lyaahena mwene nenge ihashi longithwa onga unapelo waayehe nenge elongitho lyontumba pathaneko lyopashitopolwa okuyambidhidha omalelo gopamithigululwakalo mokushunitha pevi omaipumo mumwe mekondjelo lyomavi komikunda ohashi gandja uthemba wokufutapo aakalimo uuna oshipambu nenge ombinga yevi ya kuthwako kepangelo nomatompelo giilonga yokutunga ngaashi ondjila ompe okutanununa ondoolopa nenge omahumokomeho galwe ohashi indjipaleke egameno lyuuthemba waakiintu nuuthemba woongundu dhaadhima ngaashi aaselekadhi oothigwa aayelele oohepele aankundi iilema naakulupe nenge aakokele uuministeri uunamapya omeya netendululo lyevi otau tsu omukumo omukwashigwana kehe a ninge eindilo lyomautho gameno tashi ningwa okupitila mokushangitha uuthemba womavi gawo gokomikunda ooforoma dhomeindilo otadhi monika poombelewa dhomalelo gopamithigululwakalo nopoombelewa dhuuministeri wopopepi nangoye evi lyoye olyo onakuyiwa yoye owa tegelela shike ninga eindilo okunyolitha nina Namibia evi lyetu uuthiga wetu etumba lyetu oprograma yomahumitheko gevi lyokomikunda oya yambidhidhwa pashimaliwa kepangelo lyorepublika ya Namibia ongongahangano yiigwana ya Europa no German Corporation okupitila mombaanga yomahumitheko ya German kuuyelele wulwe alikana kwatathana nombelewa yiipambele yoshigwana muuministeri konomola yongodhi 061
mbali 083 9 9
Hello Namibia. Welcome to the world of LelaPay. LelaPay is an easy to use.
Thank you. That was a long advertisement about communal land, and it is also tantamount to corruption because we are dealing with corruption even in the area of land allocation, and therefore it was necessary to listen to that and to learn how to apply for the land rights in the communal area. So we have come to the end of our program. I'm Lucas Katenda. The program was sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Foundation. I was a presenter here on Eagle FM, and I thank you.